Who's in this week? Oh, it's Mary. You've got them all this week, Mary. Off you go. One of the things that is really important is honesty. Would you agree with that? So I'm going to ask for a bit of honesty now. Okay, who wasn't here last week? Oh, right. Can I just break into your little meeting over there? Come on. He can't hear me. That's a good one. Sit down. Okay. There's always a risk when you break down into groups and allow body ministry that somebody takes advantage of you. And they have this money. So for those that weren't here last week, I'm going to repeat something of what I said on two counts. One, I gave an announcement about myself and Katie Ann and Craig, who are over here. Have you all heard the news? Yes. I'll repeat some of that in a moment. And then I'm going to repeat something of what I said, because I'm talking about truth and I'm talking about faith. And it's really important that as believers, we know what truth is and we believe it. Because if we don't believe it, it doesn't make any difference in our lives. And so we're going to have a look at that later on. But last week I announced that I've now reached retirement age. That's 66 now. It used to be 65, but they keep moving it on. All those following me will be going on for a few more years. And I think if you're really young, I'm not sure there'll be a retirement date. But I'm at that age where I'm retiring. We've been looking as a leadership for the next leader, somebody who's going to take on this ministry and continue it. And after a few years of praying and conversations with different leaders, we've kind of come into contact with Katie Ann and her husband Craig, and we're going to appoint Katie Ann as associate minister in September with a view to her gradually taking over my role so that I can just enjoy life fully. And she won't. No, she will. I've got to say that you're a very easy group of people, a very easy church to lead, and I appreciate that. And in no way does my retirement reflect anything other than I'm getting old. And that's always a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? But Katie Ann and Craig will be amongst us, getting to know you getting to know them during this period before she begins in September. So that's what's happening. So choosing truth. You know, there's always a search for truth. When I was kind of talking with some of the guys before I started speaking on truth, are you going to talk about absolute truth? Well, I'm not going to talk about absolute truth, but just the truth of who God is. Because the truth of God is really important in terms of the way we understand God and what we're putting our faith into. Now, we've sang some amazing songs this morning, and every week when we worship, we're actually singing theology. We're not just singing songs. The majority of what we're singing is the theology of who God is, and it gets into our heart. You know, singing is a really great way of getting truth into your heart and beginning to understand who God is. When we read the Word, we understand the bigness of God. And we also read all the things that God has put in place for those who believe. And this morning we fall into that category of those who believe in the truth of who God is, in his salvation and the provision that he brings into our lives. Well, there's also a truth about discipleship as well. You know, we are called to be disciples. And as disciples, we mature and grow. And our role is to make other disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. So that's part of our responsibility. But in terms of everyday living, which seems to be getting more and more of a challenge as we go into all kinds of stuff that's coming to us, we really need to understand our faith and know where we're putting our trust and who we're putting our trust in. It says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have a responsibility to put our faith in God, because without that, it doesn't work. And very often we can say, I have no faith. I have little faith. I've got no faith for this situation. But we have faith. We've just got to learn how to use it. I think faith is given to us at salvation. That moment when we step over that line and we go, I'm going to put my trust and my faith in you. Something happens supernaturally in our heart, and faith is planted there, and we've got to grow our faith. If we stop growing our faith, then we feel ill-equipped to put our faith in God when big stuff comes along. So we've got to learn how to put faith in God in very, very simple ways. And it does say, doesn't it, that we only need a mustard seed of faith and mountains will be removed. Those things in our lives that we can't face, or we feel that we can't overcome, when we begin to use our faith, those mountains are moved. And that's a whole different sermon that I don't really want to go into. So effective faith is the thing that we put into something or somebody. It depends on what we put our faith in as to how effective it is. See, if we don't put our faith in God, then he is ineffective in our lives. Which is why we know as believers that going to church is not what Christianity is all about. It's part of it. But this living faith within us is so important in terms of him, that is our Father in heaven, actually beginning to transform who we are, to make us live effectively, to make us live overcoming, powerful lives. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. He told us, didn't he, that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can't come to the Father except through him. He's never failed to be all and to do all that he said he would. Now, we all have a different experience of that. Sometimes we can feel that God has let us down, that he's not doing what we think he should be doing. And that's quite a challenge. I just want to read from, they haven't got this one. So, see if I can find it again. Sometimes we've got to speak to ourselves. Do you ever do that? Do you ever tell yourselves off? Yeah. All the time. I'm always in trouble with myself. Although I do have another helper that also puts me in trouble as well. We've all got one of them. And we've got to speak to ourselves. And this is Paul, it's Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. There was a realization came to David when he was cast down. And we can all be in that place where we are cast down. Things happen, news comes. We can just feel cast down. And we've got to go, why? Why? When we put in our trust in God, then we don't need to be cast down, because all our faith is focused on him and not on the way that we feel. So faith is making a choice to believe God, that what he says is true, and live accordingly. See, when we read the word, we see the fuller picture of who God is. He is truth. We only have to believe it. Now, one of the issues that we've got in today's culture, if you like, is that there are so many religions, so many ways of reaching peace and karma and all that kind of thing, that we can make our own truths up. And we've always got to go back to the Word. When we're dealing with ourselves, we've got to go back to the Word and say, well, what does the Word say? Not what the world says. Because if we follow the patterns of this world, we will cause ourselves a little bit of confusion. It can be hard to live to the truth. Because Jesus said, love your enemies, didn't he? That's the truth. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you. You'll be obedient. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. So there are some truths that are true, but we sometimes don't want to engage with them because it can cause us pain or embarrassment, or we're not getting our own way. And so the truth of the Word is very challenging to the way that we live. And we've got to make that decision about what we are going to believe. Am I going to put my faith in God? Because if we don't put our faith in God, then it's impossible to please him, because we've got to believe that he exists and he's going to do the things that we read about in his Word. I love the battle that we see between God and the children of Israel, that journey they had over generation after generation. Sometimes they would be close to God and sometimes they would be a long way from God. And there was a time when Elijah stood before the children of Israel and said, in it's 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah asked the children of Israel how long they would waver between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. We've got to make our mind up what we're going to do here. We're facing the situation. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust Baal or the things of this world? In other words, we've got to make our mind up who we will believe and believe it. We must make a choice about what God says and live accordingly. See, the choice is down to us. I think sometimes when we're talking about faith, we imagine that faith is going to be outpoured into our hearts and we'll be able to do anything. But that's not faith. Faith is trusting in who God is. It's having that glimpse. The Holy Spirit opens up our heart and we see a glimpse of God and we say, I'm going to step forward, I'm going to put my faith in God in this situation. We've got to live accordingly. So some truth is God is love and loves us so much that he died for us. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We know these scriptures and many, many more. But do we believe them? Are you living in condemnation? Because it says in the Word that there is no condemnation. If you are living in unforgiveness, God is a God who forgives. We just need to ask. We need to repent and ask, and he forgives. The slate is wiped clean, and we do not live in condemnation. And so often, that when we look at ourselves and we look at God, we feel ill-equipped or ill-qualified to have this relationship with him. But that's a lie of the enemy. I'll talk about that later on. You see, if our feelings of being unloved and condemned, it may indicate there's a gap between understanding the truth and applying faith. Okay. When it's going wrong, it's not the Word that's gone wrong. It's not God that's gone wrong. Sometimes it's our understanding of what that actually means. And the fact that we've got to apply faith in these circumstances and situations that allow God to break in. Says, doesn't it, keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on doing that. Well, if we don't keep on doing that, we're taking away all that God wants to do because we're not asking continually. Pray without ceasing. And we've got to do that in faith for God to do some of the things he wants to do. Faith is like anything. The more we put our faith in God, the more we build our relationship with him, and the more our faith will grow. Just as it is in the natural, the more we get to know somebody, the more we get to trust them, the more we can put our faith in them that they are going to do what they say they are going to do. There are some people, you know, when you ask them to do something, you've got no chance. Waste of breath. But there are certain people who go, if they say they're going to do that, then I know they're going to do it. And we want to be in the camp that does what we say. I don't know whether it's illegal now, but we used to, years ago, I did anyway, get my kids to throw themselves off the stairs and you'd catch them. You remember doing that? It's probably illegal now. And the first time they do it, there's a reluctance. I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And then as they become more confident in your strength, they go further and further up the stairs. And I had to be careful when I went to the bottom of our stairs because Ian used to throw himself from the top. I couldn't catch him now. But there's that faith in who I am. I say I will catch you, and when you jump, I catch, and it builds up a degree of faith. Our faith in my ability, his faith in my ability grew. And it's like that with God. As we get to know him and trust him more, we begin to make bigger faith steps and allow the truth of God to transform our lives and set us free. Set us free from who we are very often. We all face personal battles. The majority of them are our thought life. It's really difficult to control some of our thoughts sometimes. And all kinds of thoughts come to us. All kind of untruths or lies will land on our door, and we've got to decide what we're going to do with those. I think one of the biggest ones is that we could be a better Christian. That's a really hard one, because I think if we sat down and thought about it, we all think, yeah, I could be better, yes. But that can lead to self-condemnation, and it can lead to stunted growth. And there are many thoughts that come to our minds that are untruths, but we allow them to become part of who we are because we're not putting our faith in the truth of who God is. We may think we should be further along our faith journey, and we can feel that we have failed. It's quite a common thing as well. I could have done better. I could have done better. I could have made more steps of faith. I could have done much more for God, but I haven't, and we can feel that we have failed. And this is a deception of the enemy. Our challenge for today is to, if you are struggling with faith, is to start today. The past is gone. We can't do anything about that. Paul, when he was talking, said, you've got to forget what's gone before, because if it's failure, it can hold us back from the future. Forget what's happened and press on. We have to make a decision that my faith life may not have been very good, but from today, I'm going to make that decision that faith is going to be part of my daily walk with God. I think one of the hardest things when we're talking about faith is the opposite of faith is feelings. And feelings are part of who we are. They kind of tell a story, don't they? They tell the story to everybody around us what's actually going on inside. We might not say anything, but you can look at somebody and you go, they're not very happy, are they? Or we can look at somebody and go, oh, I wish I could have something of what they've got. Look at them bouncing up and down. That's awesome. But that's a feeling. And so feelings are those things that, if we're not careful, can drive our behaviours. But when we're talking about faith and spiritual growth and feelings, there's an order that we can put things in that makes it easy for us to get to where God wants us to be. See, you don't feel your way into good behavior. You don't feel your way into faith. You put faith in and the feelings will follow. We tend to work the other way around. I mean, sometimes you get up in the morning and think, oh, life's rubbish, isn't it? Life is really poor. I don't want to get out of this bed. I want to stay in it. It's been driven by the way that we feel. So we've got to start believing the truth and feelings will follow. We can only believe what we know to be true from the Word of God. So that's why it's important that we read the Word and we listen to the Word. This is what we're doing this morning. We are speaking truth, that your faith life may grow, it may change. It can be challenging to listen to, but ultimately God wants to break into our lives and make a difference. So we find truth. So if we say Jesus is the way, the truth, so the truth is that Jesus is true, that what he says is true, that the Word says is true, and then we believe it. So that's step one, is finding truth. Step two is putting our faith in it, believing it. And that should change the way we behave. It brings a different connect between our understanding of God and the way that we actually behave. And when we put those three steps in place, then our feelings will follow. Then we'll be in a place to live it with the joy of the Lord being our strength, because we've got it all so. We're putting our faith in truth. It's changing the way that we think and behave, and it's altering the way that I feel. See, faith is crucial in our relationship with God. And God wants us to develop a relationship based on faith that is deeper and deeper as we journey with him. So we do face situations where you can choose whether to put your faith in him or something else. And we all know what that is. We can have the health scare, financial concerns, difficult personal circumstances, uncertainty in our lives around what's happening and why it's happening. But if what we believe doesn't change the way we behave, we don't believe it. We've been saying this for years, haven't we? If what you believe doesn't change your outlook on life, your understanding of who God is, your understanding of life and the way that you live it, then you don't really believe it. See, God's role is to be truth. Our responsibility is to believe it and live according to what is true. Faith always leads to action. What people put their value in, what people put their faith in, is always evident by what they do. If you want to see what somebody really believes in, then you've got to look at what they do. No matter what they say they believe, their behavior will expose what they really believe. As believers, it says this in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So there is a faith that saves us. It's nothing we can do other than put our faith in God. That's the only option we have if we want to be in this relationship with God. If we want to experience him working in our lives, then we have to put our faith in God and his love and his grace, not in the things that we do. And sometimes as believers, we can try and do things that make God, or we think make God, love us more. We try to self-medicate, if you like, in our spiritual journey. We pray more, we read the Word more, we do more good things. But God loves us anyway. We don't need to do that. We do that because we love God, not because we want God to love us. James 2 says this, in the same way, faith by itself, it is not accomplished by action. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show my faith by what I do. There's got to be something that moves us in our behavior that evidences that God is living in us. We begin to do things differently. It says in Ephesians, doesn't it, that we are created to do good works. That when God breaks into our lives, he begins to change who we are. He begins to change the things that we do and the things that we aspire to do. When faith is living in us, it's accompanied by action. I think one of my favourite stories in the Bible is Zacchaeus. When he came to faith, he gave everything back. An immediate change in his actions. Before, he was a thief and a robber. The moment he came to faith and God broke into his life, he began to give back everything that he'd stolen. If faith isn't accompanied by action, it's dead. The way we live will demonstrate to those around us what we actually believe in. People don't always live according to what they say they believe, but they will always live according to what they actually believe. Okay, good news. There is no one here who could not become a mature and fruitful Christian. That's what the word says. That's truth. There's no one here who is excluded from all that God wants to do in your life. There is no one here who cannot resist temptation, get out of hopelessness, leave behind negative behavior and past influences and move on. I can say that because that's in the Word of God. It's true. When God is in our lives, we can become overcomers in everyday circumstances. You don't need to be someone special for God's anointing to be on your life. You just need to know what is already true and choose to believe it and act on it, putting our faith in who God is. One day we're all going to stand before God, whether we believe he exists or not. That is the truth. Each of us must give an account of our lives. I've put in here, we cannot respond, no comment. That really refers back to what I was saying last week about no comment. When we don't want to get ourselves into trouble, we go, no comment. I'm not being honest about that. But we will not have that option when we stand before God, because he knows each of us intimately. So today, what a great opportunity to make a decision about your faith, about what you're going to do with this truth of who God is, and put your faith in him. No matter how disqualified you feel, that's another lie of the enemy, that we feel disqualified because of what I've done. God surely can never love me again. Well, that's poor theology, isn't it? We know that God loves us no matter what, but we disqualify ourselves because we go, surely God can't do that. Well, yes, he can. See, the Bible tells us that even our own heart will deceive us. You know, when I was talking about, do we talk to ourselves? Yes, we do. Do you ever deceive yourself? It wasn't that bad, was it? It was all right, really. I got away with that one, didn't I? We can deceive ourselves. We can look at our actions and we can deceive ourselves into believing that actually it was okay. Or alternatively, we can lie to ourselves about who God is, about the truth of who God is. Surely God can never love me again. Surely God can't forgive me. Surely God isn't interested in who I am. He's not interested in my circumstances. But the truth of the matter is that he is. We've got to put our faith in who God is. The truth of the matter is that God loves you and wants to bring fullness of life to you and to complete his work in you. You can't do anything about the past, but we can be determined to put our faith in the truth of who God is from this day forward and live a different life. Let our lives express the truth of God in who we put in our faith, that he's a God of love and compassion and grace, a forgiving God who empowers us to live overcoming lives. What an awesome testimony that is to our community, our families, wherever we work. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Let our faith be expressed through the way that we live. Amen. Use faith.